Welcome to the Enlightening Motherhood Podcast. I'm your host, Emily Hamblin.
And I'm your co-host, Ashley Schultz.
As moms who are currently in the thick of raising kids with big emotions, we know firsthand how challenging their intense behaviors can be.
And that a little support can go a long way.
This is a non-judgmental community that was created for you or any mom who's feeling overwhelmed, frustrated, or stressed.
Each week, either Emily or I will share our experiences, offer practical tips, and interview experts in the field so you can be empowered to help your children with their challenges.
Join us as we help you enlighten motherhood. Hello, everyone. This is Emily. I'm so excited for you to join me now in our third season of the Enlightening Motherhood podcast. I delve into last week a little bit about starting the podcast, walked down memory lane with you a little bit, and told you about how, while most people plan out their podcast well in advance before starting it, I super impulsively dove in and began the thing within 24 hours, which I still think is crazy. I still to date have not met a single other podcaster that has been as impulsive and just jumping in and starting as that. I don't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm happy I did it and I'm happy to be here. This week, I am especially nervous because I'm going to give you the behind the scenes of my business. Let me just start out by telling you that the very first tax year that I started my business, I made less than $300. I can't even tell you the hours and hours and hours of work that I put into it. I could probably pull up and tell you the amount of money that I spent on it, which was significantly more than what I made. And it totally did not go the way that I thought it would over and over again. If you're going to hop off, that's the short of it. But I do want to give you the details just to help people understand that life really often will not go the way we plan. In parenting, in general, as we're trying to grow and come up with these amazing plans and ideas, it often doesn't go the way that we planned. And we're often going to meet a lot of different hiccups, right? So diving a little deeper into my story, I want to share not just the struggles, but also the resilience and the creativity that something that I didn't know would be this challenging helped to kind of draw out of me and really build up in me. The journey of my business has been so similar to a parenting journey. It's taught me the importance of adaptability and finding joy in really unexpected turns. Even when the path was kind of rocky and the outcomes were definitely not what I had expected or planned on, it pushed me to innovate, to be innovative, and to really dive deeper into my own emotional intelligence. Not just for myself, but of course for my family and for everybody that's listening. And yes, my business did not start off with the huge bang that I was expecting, both in terms of financially and in terms of the impact that it's making by reaching more people in the world. But I definitely have loved the journey. Yes, there was a huge financial investment from my family, from us using our savings account on something that was not returning any very little financial investment. There were countless hours poured into something that initially seemed like it wasn't paying off. But here's the thing. Through all of that, I discovered my passion and my why. I was able to dig deeper and gain more clarity on who really I'm able to help and want to help. I was able to see some really clear, tangible impacts and help given to my early clients that propelled me to keep on trying. And it led me to create resources that resonate with parents and caregivers who really are in the thick of it, just like I am, that can help to really increase the emotional health, emotional intelligence, not just for their kids, but for their entire family. And so we're going to explore some of those struggles today. I'm going to be even more real, vulnerable than normal. And we're also going to juxtapose it or sharply contrast it with the growth and success that we're seeing today in Enlightening Motherhood. Don't worry, I'm still not a millionaire. I doubt I'll ever reach that status, and that's totally fine with me. But it's definitely a different experience today than in those earlier days of starting my business. So excited to jump into this with you, talk about the lessons that I've learned, the resilience, the grit, the innovation that I've learned, and also just being real so that you can understand what's going on behind the scenes. I don't know, I cannot speak for every single content creator online or every single coach online, right? I know that there's a lot more life coaches now than they used to be, and I think that's a wonderful thing because I see it helping our society so much. But, you know, I really just would love for you to be able to understand some of the behind the scenes and the real life stuff that goes into all of this. And I also think you can apply it to your parenthood if you want to. And if you're just curious to know my journey, that's fine. Okay, before we go any further, I would love to just, again, a little walk down memory lane. We won't listen to the whole episode. The episode where I decided to transition from just being like a hobby podcast into actually creating the Enlightening Motherhood business. Here's a few clips from that.
Welcome to the Real Life Enlightenment Podcast, a highly imperfect podcast full of ideas that we have found to be enlightening and are sharing with the hope that it will, in turn, bless someone else's life too. Hey there, this is Emily, and this is actually one of the hardest episodes that I think I have recorded. I have been struggling a lot with exactly what to say and going back and forth in between being authentic and oversharing. And if you know me personally, you know that I often lean on the oversharing side.
Hey, 2024 Emily interjecting here again. This podcast was before I knew about wonderful mics. Excuse me, this podcast episode clip that we just listened to was before I knew about wonderful mics that could filter out sounds and wonderful technology that can take out many of my ums and uhs. So it's a little bit painful for me to listen to. But not much has changed with me worrying about being, you know, the balance between authentic and oversharing. So, okay, let's jump back in and listen to a little bit more of where I was coming from for that episode.
And that might be the case in this podcast, but I really feel that I should just get real with you and tell you about some times that were really, really, really hard for me. I think every mom has had times where she has just felt like she's at the end of the rope and she's tied a knot and she's hanging on and her fingers are slipping off.
Hey, 2024 Emily here again. Oof. What I don't mention in that podcast episode was all of the moments leading up to the podcast episode, sitting there nursing my sweet baby girl, feeling so strongly that I need to do more to help moms who have been where I was. At that point, 2 years ago, recording that podcast episode, I was so much more in control of my own emotions. I was able to handle stress and overwhelm so much better. My relationship with my husband was better. I mean, I had been showing up more, not only as a mom that I want to be, but as a wife that I want to be, handling high stress situations so much better than I had in previous years. The effect that it had on me was changing my parenting experience for the better. I was enjoying it so much more. And instead of feeling like I was spending my days in stress and in overwhelm, just consumed by the anger, the frustration, the guilt, instead, I still experienced and still experience those emotions. I have just so many more healthy ways to handle them. I understand better why they're there. And I'm able to handle them in ways that make it so much more manageable. So instead of feeling like my days are just consumed by that stress and that overwhelm, instead, I'm having happier memories with my children. I'm enjoying the parenting experience better. And as a result, our family dynamic has really shifted. Are we perfect? No, not at all. I'm definitely open about that fact because I don't want you to feel like perfection is the goal here. I mean, I guess if you want to think about being perfect in 1,000 years, if you have like an eternal perspective, then that's great. You know, that's a great thing to aim for in 1,000 years. But in terms of in this life, we're just shooting for improvement and we're shooting for progress. And as we do that, we're going to be on the upward trajectory. So in any case, just thinking at that time of recording this podcast episode 2 years ago and deciding to transition to a business, thinking about the fact that there are so many moms in really dark places, really suffering in that overwhelm. They don't know who to go to. They don't know who's going to get it. They don't know who's not going to judge them or their kids. And it's a really hard place to be. So that's why I decided to transition to my business. If you want to listen to this episode, you can go back and listen to it. It's episode number 13. You can listen to the whole thing. I tell about many of my really difficult, hard times. I talk about the year where my husband said I aged, like, I think he said 10 years within 1 year, and how much I wish I had the support that I'm offering today. I'll just play a few clips from it, a couple of excerpts so that you can understand the perspective that I had at the time of starting my business and why we had that pivot from hobby podcast to actual official business.
He showed some really, really extreme behaviors. I could go after example, like little things would trigger him off, and I'm not even comfortable saying he was throwing fits or having meltdowns. I used to call them rages. He would try to scream and spit in my face and scratch at my eyeballs and pick up like heavy furniture and throw it at me. And it was usually intended towards me, sometimes my husband, but there was definitely a dynamic of addressing his rage towards the mother. And it was in situations where maybe you might expect a child to not like what was going on, but he would trigger to just such extreme behaviors. Out of the 27 kids I had, this is the only one that had such extreme behaviors. I don't think most foster children are going to have these kinds of behaviors, and it was a beautiful experience that we had. A little plug in there that don't expect this if you're going into foster care. This was an extreme, like the most extreme case that most people had heard of, but it happens to be one that I was facing. And I became really desperate for help, a very hard time, and I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't have the skills necessary and the mental capacity to handle it. Still brings me to tears just thinking of how desperate I was feeling for someone who gets it. And then I found someone. He ended up being the support person that I needed. He validated my feelings. He had compassion. He stopped telling me I was doing things wrong and started to give me real actionable things that I could do to get through the situation and to help the child. It wasn't that suddenly this child was easy. It's that I had the support that I needed to get through these difficulties that motherhood was bringing me at the time.
Hey, 2024 Emily here again. So this example I'm giving is from years ago with one of our foster kids. I kept it very anonymous for confidentiality reasons, but I just want to make the point that a parent that's struggling is a parent that's struggling. You don't have to have a child throwing furniture or trying to scratch at your eyeballs to be struggling with your parenting journey. I certainly have had a lot of really intense struggles with my biological kids that have not had that behavior, and with the challenges that I faced with them and that sometimes I still face. Like, I just worry a little bit that going to and describing these extreme behaviors makes people think that, oh, I need to have foster kids, or I need to have a kid with those kinds of extreme behaviors in order to get help in my parenting. And I really want to debunk that. If you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling at the end of your rope, regardless of what the behavior of your kid or the circumstances of your family life, it doesn't have to like meet certain criteria in order for you to justify receiving support in your parenting. Whether or not it's support from me or anyone else, I just really want to make sure that you understand. It's not like you need to meet a certain threshold of suffering or pain or challenges in your family before you're allowed to go and get help. If you're struggling, if you could benefit from support, you are going to benefit from receiving that support. Your children will benefit, your family will benefit, and the ripple effect that it will have will be incredible. So don't feel like if your brain's like mine, it might be like, oh, well, it's not as bad as so-and-so, so I don't need to get help. We don't have to do that. We don't have to compare someone else's level of difficulty with ours and say, well, they deserve help, but I don't. We all can and will benefit from receiving and offering support. Humans are not supposed to be doing this experience of life alone. We're supposed to uplift each other, and that includes also reaching out and allowing others to support us, as we, of course, are reaching out and supporting them. Okay, so here's the little pivot that I had in that episode to starting the new business. It's so fun how naive I was. I'll talk to you about it in a minute, but first, here's that pivot from that episode to starting my business.
And so this is my announcement that I have started this new business. My coaching business's name is Enlightening Motherhood LLC, and the name was chosen very carefully. It took me days just to decide the name. If you want to check it out, the website is enlighteningmotherhood.com. Right now, while I'm still sometimes in the thick of it, literally, I have noise canceling headphones on right now, but I'm pretty sure my boys are screaming while my husband's taking care of them. But right now, I'm carving time out of my schedule, right? I'm arranging my husband to watch children, or I'm getting babysitters to be able to be an enlightening support and a guide for other moms who are also feeling overwhelmed, overburdened, and just plain stressed out. It's okay if it's over simple things too, right? You can be human. Sometimes, and then we feel really overburdened with things that we think should be simple. Then we feel guilty for that. And then we have all of these layers of emotions. I am here to help you sort through that. For moms who have children with challenging behaviors and you want help from someone who understands. For moms who want more tools and help getting to the root of the challenges and sorting them out. Maybe for moms who need some empathetic guidance to help you get there. I may not know what your exact circumstance is like, but trust me, I could probably imagine, and I'm going to be very understanding. I am here for you. I just really want to be a support for other moms the way I have had supports for me. My motivation is to be there for others, much like the other people, right, that have been there for me. We don't need to face these difficulties alone, mamas, right?
Okay, at that point, I described the service that I was offering then, which was just for you to come and have a coaching session with me, which we know what a therapy session is. Coaching is not therapy. I always need to clarify that, but it is definitely an opportunity to have someone understanding, listen to you, help you dive into the things that are causing you whatever challenge, overwhelm, stress, anger, frustration, bitterness, resentment that you might be feeling. And I was offering just 40-minute sessions, and they were all one-on-one. And I thought this is where I felt really naive. I made my website, I put it out there into the world, I announced it to my friends on social media, and I started a business social media page, and I thought, this is going to be great. People that know me personally were commenting like, oh my goodness, Emily, that makes total natural sense for you. This is all of your natural abilities combined with your past challenges that you've overcome and that you're overcoming, and you're putting them together. What a great service. You're going to do amazing. And I thought they would all recommend it to their friends and I would just fill up. And I only work like 10 to 15 hours a week. So I knew that they're, you know, this was still going to be a very part-time thing. But I announced it and everyone's so encouraging. And then it was crickets. Like, yeah, nothing happened. No one signed up. And then I started to think, you know, I can have my time. Well, it's not like I don't have enough on my plate, but I really, really have felt just so pushed by the Lord and by everything to continue with this business. And so I thought, okay, I need to continue onward. I'm not getting clients. How about I just try to get some free clients? And then I learned about having an email list and I thought, okay, I can have free clients. I can put them in my email list and I can start to write weekly emails. And so I began my Monday motivation emails and I don't think I've missed a single week now. We're coming up on 2 years of starting that business. I don't think I've missed a single week of those Monday motivation emails, which for someone with ADHD, with four little kids, with everything else that I have going on, I am really grateful. Some of them have been simple. Many of them have had typos. There was one I sent out a few weeks ago, and after I reread it, I went, oh, I could have reworded that better. Like, they're not always perfect, but they have helped thousands and thousands of women to date. Back then, they were helping, I think my first email probably had like 11 recipients. And I just think, had I given up then, look at the impact I'm having now. In terms of active subscribers that are opening and reading their emails, there's 5,000 people on my list. If we wanted to include all of the inactive subscribers that aren't really opening or looking at the emails, I believe there's close to 8,000. That's considered small in the business world, but to me it's huge. To me it's huge to know that there's thousands of people that are being helped every single week. And had I given up then, I would not be helping them now. Can you see this parallel for parenthood? I really hope you can. I also, because I knew I wanted to be working on this business and I had dedicated business time, and I thought, well, I'm not getting paid clients. I'm going to look for free clients. So I reached out to some of my close friends that I knew would love and trust me. And I also put on my social media, hey, I'm offering 2 free sessions for the first 2 people to sign up. And so I did have 2 friends reach out, which was so wonderful. Of course, the very first person that I reached out to was my podcast co-host, Ashley. She was so great to let me practice coaching on her. And I had a format then whenever I coached, I printed out a format for coaching that I still have, that I still follow roughly. I just haven't memorized by now. And I had a clipboard and pencil to make sure that I didn't miss certain parts. And those sessions went so well. So I don't want to say the names of everyone. I did keep a spreadsheet, all of the appointments that I had. I have a spreadsheet of everyone that I invited for free. I started out with my close friends. Those sessions went so well. And then I thought, okay, I want to get more experience with more people. So I started to reach out to further friends and more of them. And I even framed it like, would you please be willing to let me coach you? And so I feel like some friends signed up just to be, most of them probably, just to be nice, because I was asking them for help and I have amazing friends. I do have other friends that, I have one that replied and said, Emily? Because I messaged her on Facebook and she replied and said, Emily, was your account hacked? This is just weird. And I was like, no, it's not hacked. This is really me. I'm just trying here. So I had dozens and dozens of free coaching sessions with many different people. And then I went into some mommy Facebook groups. I thought, okay, I need to get people. I started with the safe people that will love me even if I totally mess up. And they were going so well. But then I reached out to like maybe more distant friends, people on social media. Lots of people just never answered. They thought it was a little weird. I don't necessarily blame them, right? But for those that did answer and those that were willing to let me practice and try it out on you, just thank you. I don't know how many of you are listening to this. I'm looking at the list and I know some of you for sure are. Thank you. That was needed, and it helped me to hone in more on what I wanted to do with my business and exactly who and how I wanted to support. And it helped me realize how many of the people who I very naturally felt like I could help were people who were I'm happy to help any mother, of course. But when someone would come to me and say, I'm really overwhelmed with meal planning, of course I could help them with that overwhelm. When someone would come and say, I'm really overwhelmed with trying to keep my house clean, I would, of course, help them with that. But when someone came and said, I'm really overwhelmed because of my child's defiance, or I'm really overwhelmed because my kids fight so much, I'm really stressed about all of my child's meltdowns or their struggle with friends or things like that, I felt like, oh yeah, this is what I meant to do. So it was good to help me gain clarity there, but I wouldn't have known had I not coached so many different people, right? Looking through this list, I used to have like their original emotion that they came to me with, and then their desired emotion that we worked towards them having and that they were able to have as a result of that coaching session. Original emotion, frustration, disappointment, overwhelm, anger, sadness, frustration, overwhelm, lost, hopeless, fear, worry, fear, frustration, apprehension, inferiority, anger, frustrated, stressed, overwhelmed, guilt. Any of those resonate? I'm not, of course, going to call out anyone or say their names. I just really want people to always know you're not alone. These are people that weren't even looking for coaching that I was reaching out to saying, please, can I practice my coaching on you? And they got free sessions and I treated it as though they had paid me exactly what the session's worth. And they were able to be helped. And I bring it up that even people that weren't looking necessarily to be coached were still experiencing a lot of these more difficult emotions. And I'm saying that not to put anyone on the spot or call people out, but just to normalize the fact that most of us are struggling. And that's something else that I've believed and I've seen more as I'm growing my business, that now I've transitioned from a one-on-one coaching model to a membership model in order to keep costs low and be able to help even more people. I do occasionally offer one-on-one, but I don't advertise that as much as the group one. In any case, sometimes people will come on the call and they're like, oh, I'm just here to listen. And then they're listening. And first time at the end of the call, they're like, wow, those things that other people came to get advice or help with were exactly what I needed to hear. It's just so incredible to me how similar many of our journeys are and how whenever we see or listen to somebody else being supported in their challenges, that we receive help for our challenges too. And it goes back to what I keep saying, and I really do believe that we're not supposed to do this parenting thing alone. We're not supposed to do life alone. And a lot of it is because we might not have the exact same circumstances. Of course we don't. But we can still find a lot of solidarity and help as we reach out to and support each other. Now, at the risk of oversharing, I told you how, of course, I started this business to help people. I was not as stressed about finances, not really focused on that, and I still put helping people above making money in my business. But finances, like, matter because I didn't realize how much money it costs to run a business. My first year, 2022, beginning this business and running Enlightening Motherhood, I pulled up my notes because I didn't want to exaggerate here. I spent $7,096. I spent more than $7,000 on the business. And you might say, well, what did you spend it on? I had to register my LLC. I had to pay for the hosting of my website. I had to purchase my domain. I needed a better computer. I needed a microphone when I learned about a microphone that would sound a lot better. I needed some coaching for myself. I joined a mastermind, which was a wonderful mastermind, and was able to receive a lot of coaching and clarity around how to help more people. which was great. It helped me develop things like my Why Is My Child Melting Down cheat sheet that is free now for everyone and that thousands and thousands of parents have enjoyed. Helped me develop a program now, which is today, it's known as Emotionally Healthy Families. I developed it then as the Confidently Momming Kids with Big Emotions program. It was a really good experience, but it was $5,000. There's a lot of other things, some parenting books, paying for the professional version of Zoom so that we don't have to stop all of our meetings at 40 minutes. Yeah, just a lot of things like that, right? The email provider that sends out all of my Monday motivation emails for me on a schedule and similar emails like that, that costs a pretty penny. The technology to host the memberships. Anyways, there's just a lot, right? There's a lot. So it was more than $7,000. Do you want to know what I made in 2022? I made less than $300. Spent $7,000, put 10 to 15 hours per week, would often stay up late at night, get up early in the morning, spend my husband's days off, he would take the kids, and I would be working lots of time, lots of heart, lots of energy. I made less than $300. You can do the math here. Not into it to make money, but that wasn't working. And I can't tell you how many times I felt so much like I should just give up. Like I'm investing all of this energy and resources, like not just the money, but just the resources in general. And I'm not seeing paybacks. And I felt like so many times someone might ask me and say, oh, how's your business going? And I'd say, I want to burn it. And what I meant by that was just, I'm so overwhelmed and it's not bringing me the results that I'm hoping for. And I would pray and say, you know, should I just close my business? And every time I felt like, no, you need to keep going. There are parents who need exactly what you can bring them. They need someone who is still in the thick of parenting, someone who doesn't have like grown children out of the house in leisurely days and they can wake up when they want and sleep through the night every night. They need someone who's still in the thick of it, who really gets it. And they need someone that's not going to judge them. And someone that has the ability to teach things clearly and simply so that even when they're so overwhelmed, they can understand some of that simple brain science. They can understand the roots of their own emotions. They can understand how to regulate and really actionable, realistic things to teach their kids healthier ways to handle their intense emotions also. So I stuck with it. And I remember the first time that I offered a workshop, and I think I was charging like $29 for it or something really low cost to how to stop yelling at your kids. And I walked through the process that I have walked through with myself. And I remember just jumping for joy, ecstatic, when I got my first payment for that workshop. I was beyond the moon excited. And it wasn't even a drop in the bucket, right, financially, but I realized there are people that are willing, not just the money, of course, the money is just like a part of it. They're willing to invest their resources, their time, their energy, their thoughts, their finances is part of that, into helping their families. What I'm doing matters. What I'm doing can actually make a difference. So again, I won't say your names. I kept notes of all of this. I have those first few customers and how excited I was. Thank you for being willing to take a risk on the newbie. And I have testimonials actually from some of you still up on my webpage because, yeah, it really did help you. And that was so rewarding to be able to see your journey and the help that it gave you. So in 2022, I did begin that program that I told you about, the Confidently Momming Kids with Big Emotions program. And it was a high-end mastermind. I did the pilot run in 2022, had incredible results with the small group of women in there. And it was so rewarding to see it helping in real ways, to see the transformation in their families, to learning these healthy ways to handle their own emotions, healthy ways to help their kids handle their emotions, the healing from not being raised the way that they wanted to raise their kids and now having tools to be able to do that, the ability to have self-compassion and learn new ways to show up more in the way that we want to. I could just keep going on at how rewarding this was. But I bring this up because when we juxtapose those feelings of how rewarding it was with like the investments, the hundreds of hours, the thousands of dollars. And it's not like, I mean, my husband's a teacher, y'all. You can probably guess what our income's like. It's not like we have millions to throw around here. So it was a really big risk. And I'm grateful that I did it. And I'm so grateful for the motivation that came from seeing the difference that really the programs that I have and the services that I have to offer can make in people's lives. Move over to 2023. I just finished filing 2023 taxes and I was so happy. So in 2023, again, I spent a little bit more than $7,000. It was probably closer to $8,000, but spent more than $7,000 on the business. But let's compare the 2022 income of less than $300 to 2023, where I made almost $15,000. Now, again, that still does not sound like very much compared to what I poured into this business, right? Compared to the hours and hours. And I know I would definitely be making more if I were still doing my in-home preschools or my in-home kindergarten or my K-2 micro schools, I would be making significantly more money. And honestly, it would have been a lot easier. But this is what I feel called to do. This is who I feel called to help. And we can see I made almost $15,000. So if we add up, we add up the total money spent from 2022 to 2023, I officially broke even. And it took me almost 2 years to do that. That's not what I was expecting. I was expecting to break even far before then. But my tax lady told me the IRS actually doesn't expect you to break even until like your fourth year of business when you've started a business. So she told me I'm actually way ahead of the curve here. So that is fascinating to know. I can applaud a little bit of that. I'm going to bring this back to parenting now because I did tell you I wanted to connect some dots and make this relevant for you, not just to understand some of the interesting behind the scenes, but also how it relates to parenting. Sometimes we are investing so much into helping our kids learn healthier ways to handle their emotions. We are working on helping them gain more emotional intelligence, learn conflict resolution, learn how to be kinder to their siblings, and also how to set boundaries appropriately with friends and people at school, etc. We're trying to help them so much. We're trying to help ourselves so that we can show up more of the way that we want. And I really do feel like sometimes we are pouring out so much initially. It might be financial. You might be investing in different programs. You might be pouring out your time doing self-study. You might be joining these groups. And sometimes it feels like it doesn't matter. It feels like you just spent $7,000 and hundreds of hours and you made $300. But if we keep going and we don't give up, we are going to start to see. I'm getting teary-eyed here. Sorry. We're going to see the differences that it makes in our family. I was not expecting to cry on this episode at all. But I can't tell you how grateful I am in my own family that I have not given up. And just this last week, I have a reel that I might share it on Instagram if I haven't yet. I'm not sure the timing of it yet. I've recorded it. I haven't released it. But I was driving my kids to their martial arts class. And we were running late, which is not unusual for me. So they're eating a snack in the van. I gave them each a granola bar. And there were two different flavors. I let them choose their flavor. One chose one flavor. One chose another flavor. So one of the kids reaches over and takes a chunk of his brother's granola bar and just eats it. Like, he looked at it, saw, oh, I want a piece of that, took it and just ate it. So understandably, the child whose granola bar had a chunk taken out of it without even being asked, was upset and started to yell. And the first thing he did was, "Mom, so-and-so took a chunk of my granola bar." And then he stopped and he turned to so-and-so and started to handle the problem himself. So-and-so was able to stay calm. Like, both kids were able to stay calm. Both boys were able to talk about what had just happened, come up with a solution, negotiate the solution, and then they were happy with the final result. It ended up being that he said, "Okay, since you took a chunk of mine, you need to give me a chunk of yours." And so the child, the sibling gave him a chunk of his. And then, this is my 8-year-old here, he said, "That wasn't the same size. You need to give me more of yours because it's not fair." And then my 5-year-old said, "Hey, you're right," and gave him a chunk. And I can tell you, I don't know if this would have happened in the past in our family. I know that they're older, and it's not just that. It's not just an age thing. I kept waiting, like, that's something that was a big mistake I made in my own parenting. I just kept waiting for them to gain these skills on their own, because I gained a lot of these skills on my own through the journey, so I thought. And they weren't just gaining them. They needed me to go in and work on me. They needed me to go in and help them and teach them and collaborate with them and guide them and practice with them and work on building their own emotional intelligence out of the moment, which is what emotionally intelligent kids is all about, right? They really needed me to understand myself and my own triggers and my own emotions, which is what emotionally healthy families is all about. Pairing those two together brought little moments like this. And in fact, as I was driving them in the car, in the van, just this little conversation of a granola bar, I started to cry. Because I was so grateful that they now have these skills to handle disagreements. They have these skills to handle the conflict. Not all the time, and we're still working on it, but they didn't need me to solve the conflict for them. They initially started to ask me for help, and then they solved it all on their own. I didn't need to intervene because I have helped them learn, my husband too. We have helped them learn so many skills to be able to handle those difficulties. Didn't happen overnight. We poured in thousands of, if you want, and thousands of hours, and we are now beginning, not just now beginning, but we can see so many of the great results of those efforts. And you might not see them initially, but I don't want you to give up if you don't. It is worth it. It is worth it for what it's going to mean for you, for the just transforming your own parenting experience. It's going to mean it for your kids and their abilities to handle the difficult times, the intense emotions, the fights, the arguments, the times where maybe they wouldn't have had skills to have healthy ways to handle them. It's going to make such a difference so that in the future, this is what we always worry about, is our kids' future. They're going to have hard times. Do we want for them to have to turn to really unhealthy ways to handle those hard times? To taking it out on others, to imploding and becoming negative, to self-harm. I know I went to an extreme there, but we don't. And so what we're doing now matters. And they may still have, like, they might still be grown-ups, and they get that. We can't control them. They might still be grown-ups that make choices that we wish they hadn't made that aren't bringing happiness. But I really do believe that the influence we have matters, and it will continue to matter with our children. So that's my analogy from my business. I can't wait to see where 2024 brings us. I already can tell that it's going to be incredible. It's going to be incredible. And we are continuing to get the word out. So many of you are sharing this podcast with other people. Thank you. So many are sending them the link to sign up for Monday Motivation. Some of you are sharing the $7 memberships that I have, like the really low cost, emotionally intelligent kids. Sorry, I had a little lapse in memory there, or the like $9 anger management for kids resource bundle. And this is incredible. Many of you are also looking at and considering joining emotionally healthy families. It's typically closed. Depending on when you're listening to this episode, you can go and join the waitlist. I also will let you know that it is going to be opening in May 2024. It won't be open forever. It will be opening up probably for, I haven't decided the dates exactly, but probably for around a week. So you can hop on the waitlist now if you want to even consider it. Thank you for sharing the word with others. Thank you for helping us grow And thank you especially for the work that you are doing as a parent. Most of you are mothers. We have a few that are teachers, fathers, grandparents. So whatever work that you are doing with children and with families, it matters. It matters, and it is what our world needs. Thank you for it. Okay. Thank you for listening, everybody. I hope you have a beautiful week. Wish there were a shortcut to help your child develop better tools to handle their big emotions in a healthier way? Well, there is. Introducing Emotionally Intelligent Kids, a central hub full of new resources each month designed to elevate your child's emotional intelligence in just minutes each week. And the best part? Right now, you can get instant access to all of these resources for just $7 a month. Visit www.enlighteningmotherhood.com/kids for all the details. I can't wait to welcome you in.